take our Bibles tonight, and we're tonight in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you want to find your place. Peter, while he was singing that, I was reminded, I was with Brother Ron the other day, Newsom, and he was reminding me, he says, now don't forget, the day of my funeral, he said, I only want one song. And that was it right there. How great thou art. And so interesting. It's a great song, great message. Here recently we lost in heaven's gain, and we lost here on earth a great soldier of the cross, Dr. Charles Stanley. And how that man and that ministry out of the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, has impacted the world for Christ. I see that they listed him as the pastor emeritus there at First Baptist Church in Atlanta. And what a ministry. He pastored that church for, I think, over 50 years. And his son Andy Stanley's in the ministry, pastoring. And what made me think about that is I thought, man, 50 years is a long time. Then I got to thinking, because in our text here tonight, Paul kind of gives us a summary of some of the ministry. Well, what is ministry? He really kind of launches into that in chapter 5, and we already covered that last week. And when he talked about the love of Christ constraineth us, and we do what we do. You go into the ministry because God has called you, and he has placed you there for a specific task, for a specific reason, and called you to that service and to that work. And then it dawned on me, I thought, you know, man, in 1974, my wife and I arrived in Wayne, Michigan, driving a 67 Ford Mustang, coming to the Calvary Baptist Church in Wayne to work at this church. That summer, in August of 1974, the church, we had 25 deacons at the time, and I was ordained into the gospel ministry that night. It was a big night and special occasion, met with all the deacons and the men, and had family come in from Ohio and different ones come in for that day. And then it dawned on me here the other day, I thought, man, 1974, that's, what, 26 years to 2000, and then in 2024 will be another 24 years that I'll have 50 years of ministry in August of next year. And I thought, where did that 50 years go by? And how fast has that gone by? And what I have observed and seen and watched and been a part of and watched from a distance, so many things in the ministry and the work of the Lord along the way. So many that started out with an ambition and a desire to serve the Lord, but found out sometimes that ministry can be hard and can be tough. Blessings, oh, absolutely, for sure. Blessing upon blessing. Great people along the way, absolutely, for sure. Seeing people get saved along the way, absolutely, for sure. But with it, you do what you do in the cause and the ministry of Christ. Paul did it because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you serve. And that's why you give. And that's why you faithfully serve him. And so when we look in, open up this chapter tonight of 2 Corinthians 6, it's really a little bit of Paul's summary of what the ministry is about. And you think of some of it, and I can't explain it to you other than you and I never fully know until you've been there or been through it or done that yourself. And Paul, let's look at what he talks about here in the ministry tonight. He starts out in verse 1 in 2 Corinthians 6, 1. He said, we then, as workers together and with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Look at that one part there, as workers together. And this morning we were talking a little bit about Sunday school and our friendships. And Paul had great friends in the ministry. I had many that helped him along the way, Barnabas and Silas and John Mark and so many over in the book of Acts and church after church in Asia Minor. And Paul many times in his letters would acknowledge his friends, his co-workers, his ministers, that people that labored with him in the work of the Lord. And he said here, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And if God has shown his grace on you and called you and put you in that place, and God blessed, all the praise and honor and glory be unto the Savior. That's why all of us serve and do what we do. And in verse 2 he said, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation, and have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I would think Paul would be one of those people that if there was ever any doubt, if you're going to serve the Lord, do it now. If you're going to be saved, do it now. Don't delay, don't wait, don't wait on serving. And then I like in verse 3, protect the ministry. I think Paul protected the ministry. He said, giving no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed. That the ministry be not blamed. So many things happens. You know, I should have, you know, every once in a while I'll journal notes or whatever along the way, but I should have journaled ministry notes for the last 50 years. I'd have a pretty good volume by now. And because there's seeing the hand of God move in different things, seeing God's healing power in many things, seeing different individuals get saved along the way, seeing marriages being redeemed, seeing lives impacted for the cause of Christ, and seeing all the ups and the downs and the things, and then trying to protect the ministry. I remember in Bible college and them telling us and said, you need to really take caution and be careful that you protect yourself in the ministry. And not only protect yourself, but stay away from any appearance of evil, anything that would look bad or anything that would drag you down or anything that would hinder, and just be wise in what you do. And so here he simply says, giving no offense to anything, and that the ministry be not blamed. You know, every once in a while somebody will say to me, well, I don't know, life's just too hard. I don't go to church anymore. And well, why not? Well, you know, and they had their reason. And they began to blame God for this or blame God for that or blame, you know, I think one of the hardest things to do is to get somebody back in church that used to go to church and used to serve the Lord, and now they're out in that area there of not serving the Lord. And you say, well, how can that happen? Well, it can happen. And it does happen. And so how do you do that? You try to, and they'll use all kinds of excuses. And the way I always look at it, if anything good happens in ministry, it's to God be the glory, great things he have done. Anything that bad happens along the way or whatever, it's probably because mankind, me, myself, and I, and mankind, that we've messed it up or done something that's interfered with it. So to God, all the praise and honor and glory goes to all his goodness. And along the way, are there perfect? No, there's no perfect pastors. There's no perfect missionaries. Dr. Charles Stanley is great a Bible teacher, and he was one of America's greatest Bible teachers, I think. Was not perfect by any means. And you can go right down the list, all the way to Billy Graham, to pick any pastor you want, any missionary you want, anybody that has served along the way that's been in ministry. Paul was not perfect. So I want you to notice here when he starts into verse 4, then he says, but in all things approving ourselves as, what does he say, the ministers of God. So he's saying now, and now he really gives, Paul gives a long list of things here in ministry. And boy, you talk about the journey this man was on. And what does he say here? In much patience and in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Paul goes on to say in verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults and labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God. And then he goes on to say, by the armor of the righteousness on the right hand, on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil and report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, and as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, and as chastened, not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many riches, having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Boy, what a contrast that Paul gives. What a journey that man has been on. What things that he's gone to for the cause of Christ. And when you think about whatever we're going through and what have we gone through and what we've been through and different things along the way, Paul here had a long list of things he'd been through. You know, and learning patience along the way. Learning to navigate and get through the afflictions that arise from time to time. And so, you know, it's like I heard somebody say one time, and a lot of pastors will quit on Monday morning and then go back to work on Tuesday. And I remember when I came down here and in January of 2009, I walked into the office one day over here and I asked Carrie, I said, Carrie Sharp, I said, hey Carrie, where's Pastor Ray? And she goes, he's on his way to Midland. He quit. I said, are you what? She said, he quit. This was in January 2009. And I went straight to my office, opened the door, got on the phone, called Pastor Ray on his cell phone. I said, hey, buddy, I said, what are you doing? He said, Rick, I quit. I'm on my way to Midland. I'm done. I said, oh, really? Just like that, you're going to quit. You're going to throw in the towel. He said, yep. I said, I'm done. I said, and he and I talked about it, talked about what was bothering him at the time. And I said, well, look, if you want to quit, quit. But don't do it today, and don't do it like this. Now's not the time to quit. So get back in your truck, turn around, and come back from Midland, back to Canton. He said, well, I'll think about it. I said, okay, you think about it. I'll pray for you. I said, Ray, don't do this. Now is not the time. Does anybody feel like quitting? Yeah, Paul felt like quitting. Paul felt like throwing in the towel. Everybody worth their salt once in a while says, you know, man, I'll tell you what, these afflictions or whatever it is you're going through, and whatever it is you're going through, to you, that's most important. And it means a lot. And sometimes you'll get days and you'll feel like that. Well, that's all right. If you want to quit, quit for today. But then go back to work tomorrow and pick it up and go right on from there. I remember Dr. Odom, the day we started in Bible college, sitting in the chapel at Arlington Baptist College, he told us, he said, look around you. He said, look at the person to your left. We all turned to our left. He said, look at the person to your right. Look to the right. And he said, now I'm going to tell you this. He said, 4 years from now, many of you will not be here. Why is that so? He said, you'll quit. Why? Because you'll get discouraged, you'll get afflicted, you'll have run out of patience, you'll have something happen along the way. And so I looked at that and I thought, and we had 250 in the incoming freshman class at that time. And I've already shared this with the congregation, so many of you already heard this and that, but at come time for graduation day to put the cap and gowns on and walk across the platform and get your diploma, 49 stuck it out, and that was it. 250 to 49. Why? They got afflicted. They ran out of patience. They got said it's too hard, or they come up with all kinds of reasons. Could have Paul quit? Yes, absolutely could have quit. He never quit. He went through a lot in the ministry here. He went through times of learning patience. He went through times of affliction. He went through times of necessity. The Bible says here he went through times of distresses. You know, ministry is interesting. If you think about the challenges of ministry along the way, because you're constantly in the people business, and as ministers of the gospel, you're giving out to people and ministering to people, and many times there's issues and life challenges and problems and calls to the hospitals and the trauma centers and the counseling sessions and the whatever along the way. And so a lot of times, many times people will come and they'll unload their burdens or their problems or whatever it is on a pastor's shoulders. And that's fine. That comes with that along the way. But you got to remain, you got to be able to remain strong through that and to be able to say, I got to figure out a way to help this family, help this person navigate and get through, because this is not the end. Whatever you do, don't quit. Whatever you do, don't throw in the towel. Whatever you do, no matter how bad the affliction, no matter how bad the necessity, no matter how bad the distress is. Now, it's interesting in verse 5, Paul even said this, and stripes, being beaten, and then imprisonments. You know, if you really think about ministry where he was at in the first century, ministry where we're at today, I don't know too many pastors today, unless you're overseas somewhere, getting thrown in jail or being beaten for what they do. With tumults, he said, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, and by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. One thing we all need to keep in mind that we all do, many of us in this room here tonight, we serve in various ministries. So this ministry that we all serve in here together, whatever it is that you do and God's called you to do, and that it's the Lord's work. This is God's church. This is His people. These are His sheep, and it belongs to Him. You and I just ought to count it a privilege to be able to do what we do. If you sing, count it a privilege to be able to sing. If you work in the sound booth, count it a privilege to be able to do what you do in the sound booth. If you teach a class, if you work in VBS, if you serve as a deacon, if you serve as whatever capacity across the church and the church family, we're doing it as unto the Lord. Will there be times of ups and downs? Absolutely. There always is. But you do it, in verse 7, in the power of God, and the power, in verse 6, of the Holy Spirit. By love, unfeigned, he says, by honor and dishonor, by evil and report and good report, and as deceivers, not yet, and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live as chastened and not killed. There are probably some times, you know, you feel like, and I'm sure Paul probably felt that way, God, just take me out. Just remove me. It's an honor to be able to serve. I don't know about you. When I look at it now, going back during those times, I would not have chosen the ministry. I did not choose the ministry. It was not my choice. It was God's choice. I just happened to just say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever that is, you just show me what you want. And I think getting to the point where you just tell God, you're first in my life. I'll give you my heart, and I'll give you my life, and then you just show me from there. My choice would have been aviation. My choice would have been the United States Air Force, at least for 20 years. And I was already at Bowling Green State University in the Air Force ROTC program. And my intent at that time was to go through Bowling Green, graduate with an undergraduate degree, go into the United States Air Force as a commissioned second lieutenant, flying jet airplanes, and stay. My cousin Randy Butler down in Ohio, he right out of high school joined the United States Air Force. Put 20 years, three tours in the Philippines, and that put 20 years in the Air Force, and then retired at age 38 from the United States Air Force after putting 20 years in, and then went to civilian life in Dallas doing the same thing that he did in the military, doing it in the commercial side in business, and has done very well for himself over the years. Lives in Duncanville, Texas. And Randy decided to make a choice and spent a career in the military, which is a great choice to make. So Paul's simply saying here, we live as chastened sometimes, but not killed, sorrowful, and yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. So it really is in chapter 6 here, verse 1 down to verse 10. It's kind of a summary of all of Paul and the ministry and the things that he sees here. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what. When you get to heaven, we want to see our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of people, and Paul would be one of them that we want to meet and to see that man, to see his faithfulness and dedication. We're in the book of Romans right now on Wednesday night, and I love the book of Romans. That man has written so many great things in Bible theology that's absolutely amazing what he has written that you and I can use in the local New Testament church. Notice how Paul then in chapter 6 here transitions from verse 10 to verse 11, and now he begins to talk about the Bible doctrine of separation. Being separate in the cause of Christ. That not only do we get saved, but he appeals to you and I to live a separated life for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about it today, there are many that will want to get saved and come to know him. But many times I think one of the issues that we have in 21st century Christianity is that the challenge that comes with separation, being separated, and being separate from the world, not thinking like the world thinks, not acting like the world acts, not doing the evil deeds that the world does, being totally separate from the ways of the world. So here's how Paul lays it out. Listen to what he says on separation. He says, and now he's talking to the church at Corinth, and he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, and notice what he says. Oh, ye Corinthians. It's kind of like, woe unto these Corinthians. And they were not exactly all of them living godly. If you want to find sins along the way, the church at Corinth had many to their credit. So he says, oh, you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Now think about that. Our mouth is open unto you. Our heart much is enlarged. Paul is simply saying, I have much to say to you, Corinthians. I have much to share with you. I have much to share with you how to live and what to do and how to act in your life. And he says here in verse 12, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Not for a recompense in the same. I speak as unto, notice this now, my children, be ye also enlarged. Paul's trying to take what he knew and how he lived and how he felt and how he was convicted and share that with the Corinthians and say, may your heart be enlarged to live godly in Christ Jesus and live. Oh, ye Corinthians. He's simply saying, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Now, here's where he brings in the focus now in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, when you think about verse 14, obviously we always will use that verse or come to that verse, especially when it comes to the idea of dating, of matrimony, of being married, and not being unequally yoked together. My wife and I taught this Bible principle to all three of our children from little up, and the importance of it, why that's so important. And at the same time, the challenge. I remember when Chantel come home from Liberty University and graduated, and she was living, moved back in the house, lived with us, and was going to work on a graduate degree at Saginaw Valley State University. And then she met a young man at Zender's. She was working at Zender's, just making, picking up some extra money at Zender's in Frankenmuth. And in through the front door of our house one night, after Sunday night, we got home from Sunday night church, and in comes walking Chantel and this boy right behind her, Matt. So I got up, introduced myself, and she introduced me, whatever, and he hung out there for a while, whatever, and then he left, and so I asked Chantel, I said, by the way, who is this Matt? Well, he's a young man that works at Zender's. I met him. He's from Millington, and she goes, I really like him. He's a nice kid. And I thought, well, he got my attention when he walked in the house and had an earring in his ear, right here. That was the first red flag. So I thought, and listen, I thought, but he was cordial and he was nice and he was friendly, had good manners. I thought, okay. And so anyway, went on. And so he continued to come by the house. And after they'd work a shift at Zender's, then they'd come by the house and hang out for a while. And then Matt would leave and go home to Millington. And so finally, when I noticed that they were getting a little bit more serious. Now, by this time, she's 22 years old, living back at home. So I explained to her, and I soon realized that Matt was not saved. So I told Chantel, I said, you know the policy. You know the rules. You know what the Bible says. You know how Mom and I believe. And I said, she goes, Dad, trust me on this. Just trust me. And I said, trust you. I said, okay. And I said, okay, you've earned that trust. You really have. So I'm going to trust you on a short leash. Very short leash. So I said, believe me, you need to be really careful here. She continued to witness to Matt. And next thing you know, she asked me, she said, hey, some of the kids down at Zender's that work there, she goes, they want to have a Bible study. Can they come to our house and after Sunday night church and gather together? I said, sure. So after what Nita and I get home from church, and next thing you know, here's about six, eight employees from Zender's, all Matt and Sean, all 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 years of age. They all show up at the house. Why did they come? They came for the food. Because Rick and Nita was feeding them, and it was on my dime. And they can eat. That age group, believe me, they can eat, that age group. So we fed them, and then we all gathered around the dining room table, and then they would have a Bible study. Well, guess what? Chantel led Matt to Christ, and he got saved. And then Chantel led Matt's brother, Eric, to Christ, and he got saved. And then we baptized both of them over at the Bible Baptist Church in Birch Run, Michigan. If you go to Birch Run, many of you have been to the Birch Run Outlet Mall. If you go out west of there, it's the Bible Baptist Church, Birch Run. Baptized those young men there. Watch some of those kids get saved. and then watch them and their lives get impacted for the cause of Christ. But this thing about being unequally yoked should be taken very seriously. And here's why. When you look at it, when you think about being unequally yoked, separation in the Bible is really twofold. It's really whatever is contrary to the mind of God. If you are unequally yoked, your foundation is not the same. Your belief system is not the same. Your convictions are not the same. Your values are not the same. So to bring that together in a dating relationship, and for sure in a marriage, really complicates the issue. And not only that, but we find that separation is whatever is contrary to the mind of God and whatever is contrary unto God Himself. And so the underlying principle is that in a moral universe, it is impossible for God to fully bless and use His children who compromise or with complicity or compromise with evil. So why is it so important? I always kind of like to equate or kind of look at it. You know, if you take a barrel of apples or a bucket of apples, and you got all good apples in there, but you got one bad apple, and that one bad apple is there in the middle, that what will end up happening? Will those good apples turn that one bad apple into a good apple? I've never seen it happen. It always is the reverse of that. Next thing you know, you got two bad apples or three bad apples, and the main thing is you got to get the bad apples out of there as quickly as you can. Do not be unequally yoked as believers here. It says here, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, somebody that doesn't have the same values, same principles. Why? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? By the way, let me just go on and put a footnote. Dr. Raymond Barber always used to say, and the footnote is, and he'd go on and add a footnote to that, is just simply Matt Stewart has become one of the best young men I've ever met. Great father, great husband, and now they have three children, and he loves the Lord. He works at J.P. Morgan Chase as a financial advisor, and that they go to church on a regular basis, make sure the kids are involved and youth activities and that along the way. And so when Chantel said, "Dad, just trust me," they've earned that trust. And so you can trust them, but be careful as you proceed on. So when you look at it here and why that is so important, in verse 15 he said, Paul said this, "What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Now let me just share with you by this. You know one of the hardest things to reach and is still trying to do so is Matt and Eric's family from Millington, who many of them are not yet saved. And Eric went on, went to Liberty University, graduated, got a four-year degree, and Eric went on and chose the ministry as his profession or career, started a church in Schwartz Creek, Michigan. Today, that church now has merged with another church. I just drove by it the other day in Grand Blanc. If you go up 75 and you get to Grand Blanc Road and you turn going in towards Grand Blanc, merged down there with a church and that preaches the gospel. Eric chose the ministry. So you never know where it's going to go. You never know how it's going to lead. But you find here, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he says, wherefore, come out from among them, and here's the word now, be ye separate. So for Christians, and especially when it comes to dating, marriage, home, the family, even be very wise and careful in business and business relationships. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. By the unclean, that when it goes back to, there are those that walk with God and love God. There are those. How did he word it in verse 15? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What is in common with Christ and false gods? What is in common and that area there? And there are so many. There's a book. I've often been tempted just to order 50 of them, put them at the Welcome Center, and just say, they're free, take them. And it just simply is preparing for marriage God's way. It's written by Wayne Mack. And what is called, Wayne Mack is in nuthetic counseling. Nuthetic counseling is just really helping people see things from the Bible perspective, and marriage and dating is one of those things. Everybody ought to have it. Matter of fact, maybe I should just do that. Get some of those, put them out there. If you have a grandchild, maybe you have a son or daughter or a grandchild or somebody that's dating or somebody that's getting into that age where they're thinking about marriage or thinking about dating or getting more serious in a relationship. Boy, if you can get them tuned in of planning for marriage God's way. Well, what does it talk about? And there are certain principles in there that it talks about. And one of the principles it talks about is being separate, making sure you have the right foundation. If you get the foundation right, then it's easier to build on the foundation. What are the foundations? It's your belief system, your moral system. It's your finances. It's your faith and what you believe in and that. And so you sure don't want to have them come together and then not believe the same thing. And so he says here, and if you'll do so in verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So why would you expose yourself to somebody that's not a believer? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So two schools of thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Number one is Paul's kind of his summary of ministry and all that he's gone through here. And then also on the Bible doctrine of separation to make sure that what we do it as unto the Lord, that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price, that you belong to God, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and therefore we ought to be separated unto Him and be wise. I think, you know, Jesus had a great ministry. His ministry was to the down and outers, to the sinners, to the prostitutes, to the those. And what would He do when He'd have a chance to share the gospel along the way and many would get converted and come to Him and be saved? What would He say? He would say, go thy way and what? Sin no more. Go thy way. And when they had turned to Him and believe in Him, maybe after some miracle or something He had did, is go thy way. And it's the same way that when you and I are separated unto the gospel, is that we're to live for Him. And that does not give us the right or the privilege to be a quote-unquote holier than thou. That's not it. It's all about being separated unto Him and believing in the same thing that whoever we're in that relationship with, that we have the same foundation, the same principles, the same morals, the same values, the same biblical principles that guides our life together. Heavenly Father God, tonight we love You. Thank You for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house today. Thank You for our church family. God, we do pray tonight that we'll take to heart what Paul has to say here about ministry and how important and what a blessing ministry is. And that we see here through Paul all the highs and the lows that came with ministry in the Apostle Paul's life and teaching that to the church at Corinth. And God, then also to see here the importance of being biblically separated, separated under the gospel, separated and to realize that our loyalty, our faith, our dedication, our sacrifice is to be directly to You. And so, God, may we be wise in our relationships, especially with our spouses, our children, our families, our church, business relationships, and all that we do. God, may You give us wisdom that we would not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But God, that we would be the light of the world and the salt of the earth and do all that we can do to let that light shine so that others can hear the gospel and the saving grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Good to see you. Thanks, Mark. You saved me. You bailed me out.